Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, where in verses 2 and 3 Jesus says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves." What were they thinking at that point hearing these words? Okay. And how many of you listened to the doings on Thursday in Washington, D.C.? And then we find out that the teleprompter where the speech for the president was written got taken out by the rain, after which there were several errors. The one that ties in with the sermon for today when we're talking about the eternal kingdom is at the end where he said that America, the United States, will endure forever and forever and forever. Yeah, we'll count that as a misspeaking. Because we know it's not true and he knows it's not true because there is an end of the world to come. And after that comes forever and forever and forever. And we as Christians, well, we say that part of the genius of this nation is to recognize that fact. That this nation will not endure forever. That this nation is not to be our first priority, but that it is God. That the founding documents of our nation talk about. All men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And those things are given by God, sustained by God, and can only be taken away by God. Although human beings intrude, and human beings presume to take away what does not belong to them to give or to remove, and although there have been and continue to be many countries around the world where the rulers presume to be in the place of God, and wish for their subjects to see them as the giver of every blessing. But we confess as a people that our every blessing comes from God. That makes us different. This is why, number one, there's a couple more this is whys. This is why, number one, we as Christians in this free land, we celebrate that we have a king. What a strange thing to say. We celebrate that we have a king, and his name is Jesus. And like it or not, our nation is blessed only in connection with Jesus' rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We as a nation are blessed only as we serve the purpose of the King of Kings in gathering souls from every nation into his kingdom. The leaders of the nations of the world may want to deny that fact, and we regularly see nation after nation wandering off from God. But the blessings are given by the Lord, who is in the business of gathering and forming his kingdom from every nation and language. It, by the way, is also true of churches and congregations, that congregations are blessed only as they are connected to the purpose of the Savior in gathering his kingdom. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he does rule, and that truth underlies every part of history, and the genius of our nation through many generations is acknowledging the truth that our freedoms are from God, and the first duty of our every citizen is to worship and serve God. And so we sang in the last verse of our first hymn, "And when in power he comes, O may our native land from all its rending tombs send forth a glorious band, a countless throng with joy to sing to heaven's high king salvation's song." And that view, that understanding, is the understanding of the Bible and has been laid out for thousands of years. Old Testament Daniel saw visions of a series of nations that were succeeded and replaced by the kingdom of God. And then in a vision he saw one like a son of man being presented before the throne of God, and his kingdom is one that will endure forever and ever. Which is why number two, which is why the basic truth we are dealing with is that Jesus Christ, the Lord of the harvest, is ruling all things well. He governs his church, and he governs the world for the increase of his kingdom and the blessing of his people. Jesus is doing the work of gathering souls from every nation and language into his kingdom. In the Old Testament, Isaiah says of Jesus, "I will make you as a light for the nations, says the Lord, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." He is the light to the nations. But then in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, chapter 13, Paul grabs a hold of that verse and he says, about a verse that obviously was talking about the Messiah, he says, "He has made us a light for the nations." Only because his people are connected to him, only because Christians are connected to Jesus, can we be a light for the nations. And only as our nation acknowledges the reign and the rule of the Son of God can our nation be a light for the nations. Okay. And which is why, number three, which is why he sends out the 72. And then Jesus, all through the ages, sends out his people, and he says, "As lambs in the midst of wolves." Well, that's outrageous, isn't it? We are sent out as lambs in the midst of wolves. How is that going to build a kingdom? Well, it works because his kingdom is not like any other kingdom. It works because the kingdom of Jesus cannot be advanced by force, and the kingdom of Jesus cannot draw up borders and boundaries, and the kingdom of Jesus cannot be ruled by laws, no matter how good or perfect they are. His kingdom advances by the spread of the Word of God, because it advances by Jesus himself calling individual souls into connection with him. And as he calls us to be connected with him, we have the gospel of salvation by the death and resurrection of Jesus. We have forgiveness of sins. We have the calling to faith that happens deep within the soul. And we have the Word of God, the Word of life, that is spoken into our ears, poured over our heads, put on our tongues. And in all of these ways, Jesus is binding us to himself. Jesus, who is the living one. Jesus, who is the one who defeated death and brings us life. Jesus, who is the one who is eternal. Jesus, who has brought the name I Am That I Am into human flesh. His kingdom is the eternal kingdom because he is the eternal king. There is no other. So, in our day, we look around us and we see a world of lost souls. And we look around us and we see a world where countries fall into chaos because nation after nation has wandered off from their connection with the only king who has eternity, the only king who offers and brings eternity to his people. And so we see tumult. We see despair. We see wars and rumors of wars. And yet, there is the eternal kingdom progressing step by step as the Son of God calls each one, each individual who is saved into his kingdom. And his kingdom is eternal. Even in our own lives, we sometimes see chaos and we wonder what God has in mind. There are troubles that come and go along with the blessings. But Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And what is true on the grand scale is true for us individually. As Jesus is King of Kings, he is also my King. That means he has the right to rule my life through blessings and through trials. He has the right to guide my life down paths I would have never expected and in ways I would have never wanted to go. But he has the right to do that. So through blessings and trials, through health and sickness, together we confess that God is good. He is good. There's a passage, Hebrews 12, 5 through 12. I'm going to repeat it after I give you some excerpts from it and ask you to make a note of that and later on go and read it. In Hebrews 12, 5 through 12, it says, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline?" Hebrews 12, 5 through 12. That's only a little portion of it. Jesus is my Lord. He has the right to rule in my life. He has the right to rule in our lives. And in fact, we want him to rule. Because he has bought and won us from sin, death, and the devil. And as Luther says, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. That I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives, and reigns to all eternity. See, once that gets started, it doesn't stop till it gets to the end, right? This is most certainly true. We want him to rule in our lives because he is our good shepherd. And he leads through green pastures and beside still waters, and he leads through the valley of the shadow of death, and he does this persistently and constantly with the goal in mind that he is leading us to his heavenly kingdom and into eternal life. and he is wise in his leading. And we want him to rule in our lives because he has decided that he wants you and me to be transformed so that we may be like him. That's the words of Paul. Because he has called us his friends, the words of Jesus. Because Jesus prayed to his Father, I want them to be with me and to see my glory. And so we have the invitation and the gospel, and we have the eternal kingdom, and we have the eternal Savior calling to us. And he sends us out and says, pray to the Lord of the harvest. So we do. Lord of the harvest, send out laborers into your harvest. Send us. Amen.